Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Mark Carman's here. Dave Schwann is here. My mother is 83 years old and still working.
Wow.
I have four sisters in the workforce. I have a wife who is a working mother. Many of the women listening right now are working mothers, as is Mary Sandberg on the show, Mary Vandeveld, Wendy Snyder, Anna DeVellantis, many people at WGN. It's very hard even today to be a woman in the workforce. And joining us this morning to talk about just that from the website, TakeTheLeadWomen.com, it's Gloria Felt. Gloria, good morning.
Good morning, Pete. How are you?
You know, Gloria, still today, it's hard to be a woman in the workforce. I hear it from my wife, who is a manager. When a client finds out she's a woman, they ask for her male counterpart, and I can't believe the stories that she tells me.
It is amazing, isn't it? You would think that since women are almost half of the workforce now, and we have been for quite a while, that those kinds of biases would be gone, but unfortunately they're not, and that is exactly why, although women are half the workforce, they're still under 20% of the top leadership. So we have a long way to go.
Still today, you know, these stories that you have on your website, you just can't believe these things. And you have a great story about toxic employees in the workforce, which I absolutely love because we can all relate to it.
Yes, and toxic employees do come in various genders. It's that's not a male female thing necessarily.
Right.
But I think that men are better equipped by socialization because of all the upbringing that men tend to have. They sort of don't take it as personally. And for women, we want people to be happy. We're socialized to think about how people are feeling. And so it's particularly hard for women in situations like that. And we need to learn skills. And that's one of the things that Take the Lead does. We do training, mentoring, role modeling, and thought leadership. And the training component really does help women a lot to know how to deal with those situations and how to change them.
Well, give me some takeaways for people that are listening right now. What kind of skills do they need when they deal with toxic employees?
We start by teaching women to understand power better. It's an interesting phenomenon. When I wrote my book, No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change How We Think About Power, what I learned was that women have a different relationship with power than men do, generally speaking. And it's all socially learned. None of this is hardwired, but we have to live in the world as it is so that we can create the world we want to have. And so we start by literally reconfiguring in our own minds about how we think about power from that sort of oppressive power over to a more expansive power to, and then women learn to enjoy the how you can use power in a positive way.
Right.
And that just gives you a whole different attitude. And then we teach 9 leadership power tools, for example, learning how to actually embrace controversy instead of running away from it, how to use the conflict, how to deal with it, how to have the conversations that matter so that you can engage in those discussions, even in the workplace, in a way that's positive and helps you add value to your organization and move it forward.
My wife's been a manager for 15 years, and every single week she still has to prove herself. Every week, there's always someone that challenges her to prove herself. It's crazy.
Isn't that interesting? Because
yeah.
Now what we know, there's unassailable evidence. There's a business case that we never had before. I mean, you and I might just want to say it's the right thing to do to have more women in leadership and treat them women fairly. But when you have more women in upper leadership in a company, it makes more money. So there's a business case now that never existed before, and I think that's going to change a lot. But we women have to know our value. We women have to ourselves know what we bring to the table and not let anybody push us back because we're women.
Why do you think that is, Gloria, that companies make more money when women are in charge? Does that mean that the company's maybe more in touch with what's going on in the world?
Apparently, well, first of all, women buy 85% of the consumer goods and products. So if a company doesn't have a pretty much good gender balance, they may fall out of line with the marketplace. I mean, they just may not understand what the marketplace is. But some really interesting studies that have come out of Harvard Business School found that when you add women to a group that has previously been all male, it literally raises the group intelligence. And again, it's not that women are better or smarter. I think it is that women are more socialized to be empathetic and to think about what other people are feeling, so they can read things going on in the room that may not be self-evident.
Sure.
No, they are. They're better and smarter. I think that's fair to say.
I hesitate to say that because as we started off the conversation, you know, I mean, men and women both can have all kinds of different qualities, and you can't make a blanket statement. But what we have found is that women are really good at collaborating. They're good at getting things done, just flat out getting things done. You know, they're not in it so much for the power trip. It's for the, like, well, let's just get the stuff done. It's like the women in Congress who got a budget passed when the men had been arguing about it for the whole year.
Well, I look at our radio station here, and I think that women in management, they paint more of a picture. Like, I'm going to use an example, Mark, and back me up here, Jackie Paulus.
Yeah.
Jackie is, she paints a picture. She explains it better than a lot of guys.
Interesting.
She's just wonderful. She really is.
So you have some concrete examples.
Absolutely.
Of exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, it's interesting. And the thing is that in the industrial society, when it was more about brawn than brains, it was, you know, you had a different set of needs, a different set of functional needs for companies. Now we live in an information and technology economy. And since women have been earning 57% of the college degrees for several decades now, any organization that wants to fill its pipeline with highly educated, highly skilled workers had better be reaching out to women. And in order to keep women, they need to create a culture where women feel comfortable and where women do feel valued.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Gloria Felt from TakeTheLeadWomen.com. You know, you talk about working mothers. You always hear about working mothers, but I was brought up. I had four sisters. My mother, she worked at a church growing up, so she kind of had a job, even though it was a volunteer job. And I have 11 siblings, so she took care of 12 children.
Wow.
So I saw my mother working and trying to do housework, so I grew up doing laundry and trying to make dinner. So now, as a working father, I'm picking up my son from school. I do all the laundry in the house. I don't want my wife to even touch it.
Wow.
And I do most of the cooking. I'd say probably 80, 85% of the cooking.
You know, that's a great story. And your mother was definitely a working mother. Oh, my goodness. 11 children. Wow. That's quite a houseful. And most households are smaller these days for a lot of different reasons.
Yes.
But still, you know, the housework still has to be done. You know, the toilets have to be cleaned,
yep.
The laundry has to be done, dinner has to be cooked. And it's really great because I think there is a whole generation of men like you who have been raised by women like your mother and like me.
Right.
And we've taught you, and that's as it should be. And you know what's really great about that to me, and I see this in my own son particularly, that men are so much more a part of their children's lives now.
Yes. Well, that's the way it should be.
Best things. That's one of the, you know,
right.
It's great for the kids and it's great for everyone.
I don't know about anyone else, but my mother used to send us away to my grandmother's house for 4 days. We'd call it bathroom boot camp, where grandma would show us how to clean a bathroom properly, clean windows, clean houses. So it was my grandmother's boot camp where we learned to clean. In fourth grade, that was the path to fifth grade. Fourth grade summer, you had to go to grandma's house.
That is a wonderful thing. You know, now that I'm a grandmother, I will have to confess my grandchildren would never have learned that from me because those were not my skills. Those were not my skills. But I think that, you know, when there is more gender balance in the workplace, some other policies start to change. There tends to be more opportunity for flex time,
mm-hmm.
more understanding that somebody needs to go pick up the kids from school, whether it's the woman or the man, and somebody needs to be taking care of those of the kids if they need to go to the doctor. And so I think there's just a more humane kind of an approach to people in the workplace, and that's a very positive change. Now, the work has to get done, and what we do know is that taking care of those family taking care of those family obligations in no way hinders the productivity of of getting the work done. And there are plenty of studies now that show that companies that do make accommodations for people so that they can have a life as well as make a living actually have greater employee loyalty, less turnover, and that means they spend less money on retraining people. So there's data now. I mean, it's a good thing to do, but it also makes good business sense now. And I just think that that's data we never had before, and we need to be saying it loud and clear over and over and over again.
You got a lot of data, Gloria, and you said 57% of people graduating from college are women. I mean,
that would be true. That is true.
That's that's shocking to me that wouldn't be like, I could see 51-49, 52-48. Why do you think it's that big of a number?
Again, I think it has a lot to do with socialization. If you look at how little girls are socialized from the very beginning, they learn to be quiet, be still, pay attention. They like to read. They develop their literacy skills earlier than boys do, and so they just become better students. Now, here's an interesting thing too, and that is sometimes being a good student and knowing how to sit still and be quiet and pay attention to what's going on in the classroom and do your work may not always get you ahead in your job. Because the more aggressive and assertive skills that boys learn growing up are important too, but we do need to have more gender balance in who's getting the higher level degrees, the higher level of education. Because again, this is an economy that's based on brains, not brawn anymore, and it's really important to have a workforce, male and female, that is well educated.
Gloria, what about the gender wage gap? In all 50 states, we've seen a little progress in the last year or so. When will we see that wage gap close?
We'll see the wage gap close when women, number one, value themselves, understand what their value is, and number two, when they learn to ask and negotiate more effectively. And those are two key things that we work on at Take the Lead when we're doing our training and mentoring and role modeling for women, because if you don't realize your value, how do you know to even ask for it? I myself never negotiated for compensation until I actually had a job in New York and found out how much it cost to live here. But and I had to renegotiate something I had already negotiated.
Right.
But you, if you don't value yourself, if you don't know your own value, I'll give you an example. I was recently talking with a company called ZipRecruiter, and they host hundreds of thousands of job openings and hundreds of thousands of job applications, and you know, so that people can find matches for themselves. And I spoke with their CEO, who told me that they had done a lot of number crunching, and they found that women, on average, job matching job for job, said that their salary needs were $11,000 less than the men said theirs were.
Wow.
So you got to know your own value. You got to value your own self first.
Yep.
And there are lots of websites now where you can find out what comparable jobs pay. And so women out there, you research that before you even go in, and you go in with a request that's higher than you think you're worth, and then maybe you'll get paid what you are worth.
What's the old saying? You don't ask, you don't get?
Yeah, that's, you know, my father always said that.
Yep.
He always said, and you know what was great about my father? He would use the female pronoun when talking with me. He always said, "She who asks gets."
I like that. That's good. Gloria, pleasure to talk to you. Happy New Year. TakeTheLeadWomen.com. There's some great articles on there for men and women if you guys want to check it out.
Fantastic. Thanks, Pete. Great talking to you.
Thank you, Gloria.
All righty. Bye-bye.